You're tuned in to the Thursday edition of Agriculture Today. Glad to have you along with us. This is National Cooperative Month around the nation here in this month of October, and this is an occasion to celebrate and acknowledge the contributions of cooperatives, broadly speaking, but certainly for agriculture. We brought by from the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center here at K-State its director, Brian Brigeman. That's based in the Agricultural Economics Department here at the university. So it is National Co-op Month, Brian, and how do you view this occasion and why it's being observed now?
Well, co-ops are certainly an integral part of agriculture, but also for the United States as a whole. You know, co-ops, as we think about them in ag, are the elevators, you know, across the plains, the white castles, if you will, as we think about them. But there's a lot of other types of co-ops as well. Credit unions, the farm credit system. We have a number of food cooperatives, grocery cooperatives, telecommunications, rural electric. I mean, it just goes on and on. So it's a chance to, you know, recognize that business model and what it has provided to the United States of America.
That business model has met with successes, obviously, all throughout the course of history, hasn't it?
Absolutely. When we look, you know, here within Kansas, for example, some of our farmer cooperatives are over 100 years old. You know, initially, I believe the oldest known cooperative in Kansas is Delphus Co-op. Back in 1902 was some of the documentation, at least that I've been made aware of, when they started functioning as a co-op. So we look at co-ops and why they were started back then, really was to alleviate a market failure. It's hard for us to imagine a time when we didn't have the wonderful infrastructure and all the transportation and everything that we enjoy today. But back then, it was tough for farmers to sell grain, to get, one, a place to sell it, but also to receive a competitive price for the grain they were producing or livestock that they were looking to sell. So that's when the idea of cooperatives kind of came over from England, was starting to, you know, kind of catch hold here in the United States. And Delphus, for example, would be one of them that said, look, we can band together to do more together. You know, the success of co-ops lies within their people. And many of those lessons that we learned back then still are true today.
We want to remind folks of the function and purpose of the center that you oversee, the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center here at K-State. You interact routinely with cooperatives and the organizations that band those together, right?
That is correct. So the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center was formed in 1984. So if you think back in time, the 80s were pretty turbulent for agriculture. They were also turbulent for farmer co-ops. So co-op leaders decided we need to have a center that can help us conduct research and educate us so that our co-ops can be prosperous well into the future. So the Kansas Cooperative Council met with folks from K-State, and they created the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center at that time with the purpose of determining, developing, and delivering research and education for the cooperative community.
Brian, we bring you by largely today to give an overview of the state of cooperatives, agricultural cooperatives in Kansas as we look at them present day, and what you consider the pressing matters of interest to those cooperatives. As you said, they go with the ebb and flow of the general agricultural economy, and things could be better in that area right now.
You know, you're exactly right, Eric. The farm economy is pretty tough right now. Margins are very tight. Commodity prices are depressed. The outlook isn't great. And when we think about the co-op model, right, that they were owned by their farmer customers, that structure, you know, it's kind of closely tied. So you're exactly correct that generally as the farm economy goes, we kind of see the co-op community go as well. So farmer co-ops right now are facing tight margins. Things are not necessarily easy. They're not out there making profits like what we had seen in the past. But by and large, you look at balance sheets of the co-ops across Kansas, and they're fairly strong. So the financial situation is by no means dire, certainly strained, which creates challenges, but many of these co-ops are well equipped to manage them.
So how are co-ops, in a general sense, coping with these thin margins at the moment?
Well, I think it goes back to a lot of tried and true things that farmers adhere to. You know, you look at maximizing operational efficiency, right? How we look at our cost structure, we look at various ways that we're out there providing service and value back to our membership. What can we do better? You know, I think at the end of the day, many co-ops just cannot take their eye off that value creation, right? That we have to make sure that we are making our farmer owners better. That's why we were created in the first place, right? Like, you know, going back to the 1900s. How can we continue to deliver value to them, even though it is tight margins that are out there today?
So value added, how is that manifested? What sorts of things specifically are cooperatives undertaking to lend greater value to their clientele, to their patrons?
Right. Well, probably the one thing that is very prevalent today, well, if it ever dries up and we can actually get out into the field and harvest, is being able to match the speed to which producers can harvest a crop. It's amazing what technology has done. And the ability for a farmer to get the crop harvested, get it on a truck, and then go dump it at the elevator, co-ops have really put a big emphasis on that speed and space that you hear a lot of folks talk about. And that's just to meet, you know, the technological advancements, not only biotech, right, where we're raising bigger crops, but also capital improvements as well, as far as machinery and equipment and trucking. That's probably the biggest, you know, value add that we can see, at least as we think about harvest today, is to be that place, but also to a knowledge center. You know, with technology, there's been a lot of changes out there, a lot of new advancements. You know, for example, just looking at precision agriculture, how can we actually use big data in a way to make us a better farmer? To me, that's a natural place for farmer co-ops to be working in. Goes right back to why they were formed in the first place, right? We want to make a farmer better. Collectively together, we can find a way to add value back to our farm. So you see many co-ops out there working within the precision agricultural space, making things better for their farmer owners.
The structure, if you will, of the cooperative scene keeps shifting, and that largely in the form of consolidation as well, perhaps to the point of adding value. And that's not slowing down, it doesn't seem.
No. You know, you look at there's a lot of reasons that we see consolidation within our farmer cooperatives here in Kansas. To maybe give a bit of context to this and something for your listeners to go to, if you go to our Capper Center website, that's www.accc.ksu.edu, you can click on a set of maps that we keep updated, and it's a starburst. So we drop a pin, a node, if you will, right on top of the co-op's headquarters, and then we have lines that go out to the different upright grain storage areas that they have. And, you know, we kind of think of those maybe as branches, but if where the upright grain storage is at. So one, you can kind of see what the landscape looks like. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I look at that map is we have a lot of coverage. You know, even though there's been consolidation, the Kansas farmer can be served by a cooperative. There's a strong presence. You know, if we look at total grain storage within the state of Kansas, just over 40% of total grain storage is tied to farmer co-ops. The remaining 60%, 30% is tied to farmers on farm storage, and the other 30 is with commercial storage that's non-co-op. So Cargill, ADM, you know, multinational or privates as well. So there's a strong presence within Kansas. But, you know, back to the consolidation piece. So you can go to the website, kind of get an idea of that. But the consolidation, we started this mapping project back in 2015. And when I started that, we had 86 total farmer cooperatives at that time. Today, we're at 71. So we've seen that landscape change, and we have seen consolidation. You see that some efficiencies can be gained. There's a way that if we work together that we can improve the value that we provide back to our farmers. So I think if there's a common theme in every single one of these mergers is how can we provide more back to the Kansas farmer than what we could do on our own.
Well, Brian, once again, back to the celebration that is National Cooperative Month. The purpose here is to acknowledge that this business model does work and does serve Kansas agriculture very well. That has not changed.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, many of these co-ops that are out there, you know, these towns are able to be vibrant communities. Yeah, sure, smaller community, but they do have a local co-op that is a big employer within their surrounding area.
It's a cornerstone,
right? They have many jobs at very high-functioning agribusinesses, you know, so there is a tremendous added value beyond just the farmer, but more to the local community. I think that's the other key, is that there's a local focus with many of our co-ops, right? That we want to find a way to invest locally.
You might check out the website that the center maintains. It has good information on our cooperative structures and operations in Kansas, accc.ksu.edu. Brian, thanks for sparing a few moments and talking with us right here.
Thanks a lot, Eric.
He is the director of the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center here at Kansas State University, Brian Brigeman. We'll be back with more in a moment on this Agriculture Today.